Thank you, choir, and also our praise band and our orchestra as well. Today I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 through 21, and we're going to look at a spirit-filled life. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 18. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for who you are. Lord, we thank you for these contemporary songs and also traditional songs that give praise and honor to your name. And now today as we study, I pray that we would realize how you've empowered us to live the Christian life in a world that is organized against you. I pray today if there's someone here who's never trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord, this will be the day of their divine appointment, their new birth in the Lord Jesus Christ. And may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be pleasing unto you as we study your word together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Every month I get a Car and Driver magazine. I have no idea why. I have never subscribed to it. But I was looking at this last edition, and over half of it was about cars being transformed into electric automobiles. I'm not excited about that, amen? But I also looked at the prices of new automobiles. Now, suppose today somebody came in and gave you $100,000. And here's what they said. You need to go and buy your dream automobile. You don't finance above the $100,000. You pay cash. When I was looking at that magazine last week, I saw that a Lamborghini starts at $200,000 and loaded is $500,000, so the Lamborghini is out. Then I looked at the Corvette. The Corvette costs between $111,000 and $125,000. If you go online today with CarMax, you'll see a 2022 Corvette with 7,000 miles on it, and it's listed for $107,000, so that's out. If you're going to finance it, it costs between 6 and 10%. And the payments on that will run somewhere between $1,500 and $2,000 a month. Some of you love the little Porsche, the little sports car Porsche. They start at $69,000 stripped down, but they go over $100,000 for them to be loaded. So even though you have $100,000, if that one of those three would be your dream car, you're just out in the cold. The truth of the matter is, no matter how much the automobile is worth, there's something it must have. You can both go buy your dream car, and they give you the key fob, and you get inside, and you touch the button, and it does nothing. If it's an electric car, there are no batteries in it. If it's a gasoline car, there's no gasoline in it. All you can do with a car that has no power is just sit in it and enjoy the instrument panel. But if there's no power, you can't see the digital displays across the dashboard. Now, here's what most of us Christians do. We come to church, we have our prayer times, we keep adjusting the seat, we keep adjusting our steering wheel, and we keep looking at the dashboard, the Word of God. And for some reason, for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, our Christian life just never changes. We never get to where we desire in being used by God. There are several areas that I want to point out to you in this study on how we may be empowered by God to serve Him. And the first thing I want you to see here is what is the meaning of being spirit-filled. Well, actually, under this heading, I want to tell you what it does not mean to be spirit-filled. For example, you will run into some people and be talking about Christianity, and one of somebody will say, have you received the second blessing? And what they mean is that you were saved at some point in life, but then later on, you're baptized with the Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no second grace. There is no second blessing. The Bible says that when we get saved, the Holy Spirit takes up residence within us simultaneous with our conversion. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, listen, is something that is an ebb and flow in your life. Sometimes you feel like God is empowering you, and I'm not basing this on feelings, but you know what I'm talking about. You know when God is empowering your thoughts, directing your thoughts, your words, and your actions. I want you to understand that being filled with the Spirit is not the sudden consciousness or discernment that you have a certain spiritual gift. I've got some books in my office on the spiritual gifts. Some commentaries say there are 19 spiritual gifts. There are others that say there are 21 spiritual gifts. If you look in Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and Ephesians chapter 4, you will see a list of the spiritual gifts. When you get saved, whether you know it or not, you're endowed with at least one spiritual gift. Paul said this to Timothy. He said, neglect not the gift that is in thee. And then on another occasion, he said, stir up the gift that is in you. When I'm talking about being filled with the Spirit, I'm not referring to sinless perfection. None of us can attain that. Actually, the closer we get to God, the more humble it makes us as we begin to realize how sinful we really are. Job said this, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes have seen you, God. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Isaiah said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lives. In the presence of the Lord, Peter fell down and said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. When John, the beloved apostle, saw the vision of the glorified Christ on the Isle of Patmos, he said, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. We cannot attain sinless perfection, but the closer we get to God, we realize how sinful we really are. I'm also not speaking of the baptism of the Holy Spirit when I talk about a Spirit-filled life. 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. So as a birthday gift, as our born-again experience, you've been born again, we're given the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and He resides in us throughout this entire life. Well, how is a Spirit-filled life implemented? First of all, it has to be a directed life. Notice he says there in verse 18, do not be drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. That phrase there, that word, be filled, is the Greek word pleroo, P-L-E-R-O-O. It has several different connotations here. It means being kept filled. It's a command. It includes a continuation. It includes a constant reminder that we're to be filled, empowered by the Holy Spirit every single day. It's a day-by-day experience. It's a moment-by-moment submission to the Spirit with our lives. The filling is entirely the work of the Holy Spirit Himself, but He works only through our willing submission. The present aspect of the command indicates that we cannot rely on the past filling of the Holy Spirit or the future filling of the Holy Spirit, that we've got to act on the present filling of the Holy Spirit. If you talk to somebody about their marriage, they might say, wow, the first 5 years that we were married, it's just absolutely bliss. The next 5 years of marriage, I'm wondering, what in the world I was thinking when I married this person. So that happens. You can't think back on, listen, you can't live on the blessings and the good times of the past in your marriage. You can't live on the blessings and the good times you think you're going to have in the future. Your marriage is a good, solid, happy marriage. It's about to be based on the experience in the present. This verb, be filled, means something more than filling a cup all the way to the brim with water. The term is used in three additional senses that have great significance for Paul's use here. First, it was used with the wind filling in the Bible. The wind filled the sails and empowered the ship to sail. The Holy Spirit, He is to empower us, to energize us, to live for Him every single day. Second, it carries the idea of permeation. I remember when we had to go out to hog killing after the first frost in Gibson, Georgia. They would cure some of the hams. And the way they would do that was salt, and they would rub the salt into the skin. And then they would hang those hams in a smokehouse to cure. It was that salt that permeated the skin that preserved that meat. God wants His Holy Spirit to permeate our lives. He wants it to permeate the children of God so that everything we think, we say, and that we do is empowered by the Holy Spirit. The third connotation here is of total control. Why is filling not the same as possessing or being indwelt by the Holy Spirit? The reason is because He indwells every believer at the time of salvation. But the filling with the Spirit is not the same as baptism because every believer has been baptized and received the Spirit. The filling of the Spirit is not the same as being sealed or secured. You'll see in the prison epistles where when we get saved, the Holy Spirit seals us. The Holy Spirit marks us as being a child of the King, and that marking is permanent. That marking, that seal is eternal. I'm amazed at the way Paul contrasts being drunk with wine and being filled with the Spirit. Now, I want you to vote on something this morning. Now, some of you probably won't vote the right way. How many of you would be in favor of me coming to preach one Sunday morning drunk? All in favor say aye. All opposed say no. No. You ought to be standing up in the aisle and shouting no. But notice what he says. Why do you think Paul spoke of being drunk with wine and comparing and contrasting that with being filled with the Spirit? What happens to somebody who is drunk? That alcohol permeates them. It penetrates them. By the way, I don't believe it's disease. I think it's a choice. It's not like cancer. You didn't wake up one morning and say, God, give me cancer. No, you didn't do that. You do wake up and say, I'm going to go buy a drink. When that alcohol permeates a person, the alcohol does the thinking for that person. It slows down their responses, their reactions. That's why we have so many DUIs caught on the highways, and so many DUIs, they're causing wrecks. So what he's saying here, he says, is that if we have a thirst, we've got a desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will permeate our entire being, will lead our actions, will lead our thoughts, will lead our words. To be filled with the Spirit must become the desire of our heart. You want to write down Proverbs 13, verse 4. He says here, the writer said, the soul of the sluggard desires and has nothing. It is they who hunger and thirst that are filled. God said in Isaiah 44, 3, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. We're not likely to know this experience if we do not aspire to know it. We've got to have a thirst for the filling. Many of you remember Dr. James Dobson. He was president of Focus on the Family for years and years. He said, way back in the 20th century, he and his wife, at his wife's direction, decided to be contestants on Let's Make a Deal. And some of you recall Monty Hall was the MC. His wife dressed with toy birds stuck all in her hair and all over her blouse on the front and the back. James Dobson went dressed normal, but he had a big poster with an arrow pointing to his wife that said, "My wife is for the birds." I never would have thought James Dobson would have done something like this. But then he said Monty Hall recognized them and brought them up. And he said, "You're our next contestant, so Let's Make a Deal." And he said, they raised the curtains and there was a bright, shiny, brand new Camaro. He said, "That is my dream car." He said, "It was so beautiful." He said, "My stomach began to flip. I thought I was going to lose my stomach. I couldn't breathe well." And he said, "I thought I'm finally going." He said, "The God of greed just took over my spirit." So Monty Hall said, "All you got to do is price these four items without going over." Remember that, ladies? It's usually grocery items. He said, "We priced number one. We got it right. Price number two, got it right. Price number three, and got it right. And number four, we got zonked. We blew it. We guessed it wrong. We overpriced it." And Monty Hall, you said, "You've been such great contestants. You've been zonked. Here's a vacuum cleaner and three crisp $1 bills." And they went back to their seat. He said, "The God of greed took over my heart that particular day. Even though the Holy Spirit may not necessarily cause you to do crazy things, if he dominates you and directs you, you'll do things that only can be explained by the power of God. The second thing, you must have a dedicated life. God commands nothing for us for which he does not provide the means to obey. If he commands us to do something, we need to pray for it because it's obviously his will and intent. To be filled with the Spirit involves the confession of sin, the surrender of your will to the Spirit, your intellect, your body, your time, your talent, your possessions, and your desires. It requires the death of selfishness and the slaying of self-will. Paul's command to the Colossians, Colossians 3, beginning with verse 16. He says, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you." That's followed by a series of subsequent commands in Colossians 3, beginning with 16. They exactly parallel those that Paul gave in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19 through 33, as being results of the filling of the Spirit. In both cases, we see the singing, the giving of thanks, submissiveness, followed by being filled with the Spirit and letting the word of Christ dwell within you. The filling of the Spirit is not something mystical. It's not something that is magical. It's not bestowed on the elite spiritual people. In fact, most people that think they're elite lack a spirit of humility and are not Spirit-filled believers, because being elitist is not part of the fruit of the Spirit. But we must be in the Word of God. As we're filled with God's Word that controls our thinking and our actions, we come more and more under the Spirit's control. To be filled with the Spirit means to live with a consciousness of the personal presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. He ought to dominate our thinking. I still do not understand how, if you realize the Holy Spirit dwells in us, that means God is with us. There's nowhere we go, nothing we ever do, that God does not dwell within us. We're his house here on this earth. How in the world you can go to movies and sit there with God dwelling in you, allowing adultery, profanity, and all these other kind of things enter into your mind and into your spirit when God is sitting there with you in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And it's just like the computers. Garbage in, garbage out. That's what will happen. So if we're going to live a Spirit-filled life, there's in Philippians, there's the V chip there. It's whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are lovely. And it goes on to tell you, and that's what we ought to ingest if we're living a Spirit-filled life. If we're exposed to that kind of fleshly, worldly ideas and comments and pictures, the Holy Spirit, if we're living a Spirit-filled life, will convict us that that shouldn't be a part of our life. It is to fill ourselves with God's Word so that His thoughts will be our thoughts, His standards our standards, His work our work, and His will our will. I love what somebody wrote. Unless there is within us that which is above us, we shall soon succumb to that which is about us. Our witness is to be spiritually controlled on the one hand, but you cannot, listen, you cannot be an effective witness for Christ without being Spirit-filled. You memorize all the Scripture. You memorize the Romans Road. You can go through all the witness training that you want, but if you're not empowered by the Spirit of God, you will not be effective. However, without the filling of the Spirit, your witness is ineffective, but with the filling of the Spirit, your witness will be inevitable. In Luke 24:49, Jesus told the disciples, here's what He said, "Tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with the power from on high." Before Jesus sent the saint out into the world, there was Pentecost. He sent the Holy Spirit upon them before He sent them out in the world to share the gospel. If you're going to be biblically productive and spiritually effective, you've got to be a Spirit-filled Christian. He wants to do His work through us. The Christian who is filled with the Holy Spirit can be compared to a glove. You know, I have work gloves in my garage, and I notice one thing about them when I can find them. They're just sitting there like this. And they don't do anything until I put a hand in them and go to work. Yesterday, I had to put out some Roundup. I'm afraid the Roundup will erase my fingerprints. And so I put on gloves. But then when I get through, I put the gloves. Gloves don't do anything until there's a hand inside. Listen, you're not going to be effective in living the Christian life and sowing the seed of the gospel until the Holy Spirit is empowering, is filling your life. Notice a desirable life, one that glorifies God. The Spirit-filled life glorifies the Lord. Here's an observation. I've noticed that Spirit-filled people almost have a magnetic personality. When you're around a Spirit-filled believer, they're people, there's something attractive, and I'm not talking about physically attractive. There's just something about their being that's attractive to Christians and to non-Christians. When a Christian has the filling of the Spirit, he will bear the fruit of the Spirit, and his life will be fresh like an ocean breeze. Paul tells us that there will be a gladness about that person. He says, speaking to one another in psalm and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. And Ted, this is so important that you underscore that about making melody in your heart to the Lord. He can't sing as well as I sing. And see, that's what's so important, that we ought to be singing hymns and psalms and spiritual songs in our heart. For those of you who can sing, grace us with the Spirit filling and sing out loud. The question is, do you like to sing? Even if you cannot sing, you just know one note and you wear it out. You need to use it. But he says, make sure there's a melody in your heart. The other thing you'll notice about a Spirit-filled person is they're grateful. They're very grateful people. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. A Spirit-filled life is thankful. And when you're filled with the Spirit, you will literally be able to give thanks in all things. And the only way you can be thankful to God in difficult circumstances is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Delaney and I always like to write a thank you note to people who give us something or do something for us. I know that now text is supposed to be acceptable. That's fine. Email's acceptable. That's fine. But there's just something about snail mail, if it ever gets to you, that somebody took the time to write a note. And why do we take the time to write a note? Because that person took time to do something for us. We went to our Friday date restaurant about 4 weeks ago, and our regular waitress waited on us. She saw us come in. As soon as she did, she brought our drinks to the table before we got to the table, and she brought the wonderful bread that they have there. We just thought, that's great. She always looks out for us. She said, well, what's it going to be? We never need a menu. And so we ordered, and we split a meal. And when we got through, she came over to our table, and she said, I'm not bringing you a check today. Somebody has already picked it up. Don't you love that? That'll make you shout and sing. And you just give thanks, and you're right. I said, well, I've looked around this restaurant since we've been here. I haven't known a soul that's walked in this place that knows us. She said, this person called me on the phone earlier today about noon and said to the waitress, do you know Philip and Delaney May? She said, yes, I do. They'll be here probably about 2 o'clock today. That's when they come in. She said, good, here's my credit card number. And when they order, just charge it off on my credit card, tip and all. Now, if I'd have known that, we'd have ordered two meals. You understand what I'm saying here? And so when she came back to the table, she said, you'll never guess who called. Somebody very close to you. And we called off several of your names. And she said, nope, not them, not them, not them. So we went on vacation and several weeks. So we went back in there a couple of Fridays ago. And she said, well, did you ever figure it out? We said, no, we don't know who it is. Did you do it? No. I said, did my secretary do it? No. She went on and on. Finally, she looked at me and she said, your sister called me from Hilton Head 4 weeks ago. She was on vacation with a bunch of her friends. And at noon on Friday, she thought, I'm going to do something special for Phil and Delaney today. So the next time we talked to my sister, I said, you are so busted right now. She said, I didn't want her to tell y'all where that came from. That took all the joy out of it for her. Be grateful. Be thankful. Have you ever had to deal with sandpaper people? I know none of you have. I heard about a preacher the other day, true story. He had a lady in his church, and I can't imagine this, that every time she saw him, she had something negative say and would chew him out about things he was doing. And then it went on and on. And every time he saw her, she was in the objective mode. And so this preacher's daddy is a pastor. So he called him up and said, Dad, I got a Jezebel in my church. And he said, every time I see her, she's so sour and so negative. He said, Dad, what do I need to do? And here's what his dad said. He said, the next time that you see her, now understand he's got to maintain a spirit-filled life. So the next time she comes up to her, just take her by her hand and say, would you just get on your knees with me and let's just pray together? And when she does, you say, Dear Lord, I want to thank you that this woman is not my wife. In Jesus' name, amen. That's a spirit-filled life. You're just grateful in all situations. There's going to be graciousness about that person, submitting to one another in the fear of God, verse 21. The word submit there is a military term. You know what that means? To see everybody at least as your equal and most all people as your superior. That's not easy to do. There's a story told of a pilot of a major airline who took off with a full load of passengers from Lima, Peru. It wasn't long after they were airborne, he radioed back to the air control tower and he said, "I'm disoriented and none of my instruments are working. I don't know what's going on here. Can you help me?" In just a few minutes, the plane crashed in a field and everybody was killed. As they investigated the cause of the accident, they found that the maintenance crew had washed the entire outside of the plane. And when it took off, it was so shiny and clean. But the thing that they forgot to do was to take the duct tape off of all of the exterior sensors of the plane. He couldn't transmit with his navigation equipment. He could not receive signals. He had no autopilot. He had no gauges. Crashed and everybody was killed. See, what happens is oftentimes we act like we have it so together spiritually. Just like that clean plane. And all the time, the Holy Spirit is trying to fill us, but we're not submissive. There's premeditated, habitual sin in our lives. We have attitudes that are sinful. And all this is blocking the Holy Spirit empowering us, filling us, so we can accomplish what God has called us to do. The sole defense that we have against the power of temptation is the filling of the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you a question as we close. Are you giving evidence of a Spirit-filled life in the things that you think, that you say, and that you do? The Christian life is too difficult for us to live in our own strength and in the flesh. That's why simultaneous with your conversion, you're baptized with the Holy Spirit. He indwells you. But the Lord wants to energize you and me and fill us so that we can respond in a Christ-like manner in every situation we ever encounter. Will you stand right where you are, heads bowed, eyes are closed? Heavenly Father, thank you for coming to be with us today in our midst. And Lord, I pray that we would confess where we're not characterized by the fruit of the Spirit. Confess when we, like that duct tape on that plane, are blocking out what you want to do in our life because of self-will, selfishness, self-centeredness, and sin. We ask you would cleanse us of that and fill us to walk with you every single day. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord, I want to remind you that Jesus lived a sinless life. He gave himself on Calvary's cross to pay the price for our salvation. And whosoever receives that gift, just praise and ask Jesus in your heart, shall be saved. Would you do that this morning? There are others of you who've already been saved. You need to make it public and be a candidate for baptism. There are others of you who've been our guests for quite some time and you've been praying about it. God's given you peace, Spirit-filled, Spirit-led. Pleasant Valley South is the place to plant your spiritual gifts with this little fellowship. Lord, we want to thank you in advance for public and private decisions that are about to be made, that they bring honor to your name. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Richard's coming forward with the praise band. Ted's going to join me here at the front. As soon as we begin our invitation music, we invite you to come if you have a decision that you need to make. If you're here today and you're uncomfortable coming forward, just meet Ted and me at the welcome desk in the Welcome Center, or Richard at the Connect desk in the Family Life Center. If you're watching on your electronic device and you need prayer, you need to make a decision, and you need some assistance, call 706-234-1841. Leave a message. We'll get back to you as quickly as we can. So Mark's beginning to sing now. You come as God speaks to your heart.